everybody, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Olga Glykova. Olga is the BSA officer at Northwest Bank, headquartered in Idaho. Olga began her career in 2015 after graduating from Colorado State University with dual degrees in economics and international studies. She started at Goldman Sachs and Company in Utah, where she specialized in insider threat surveillance through e-communications before transitioning into anti-money laundering on a global scale. She later joined Wells Fargo Bank, where she was part of a specialized team addressing an AML-related consent order. Her work focused on strengthening internal controls and conducting AML program testing to enhance compliance. A multilingual professional, Olga speaks Russian, Ukrainian, English, and Portuguese. Born in Odessa, Ukraine, she spent her early years by the Black Sea, and the region remains close to her heart, especially amid recent conflict. In 2005, her and her family immigrated into the United States, first settling on the island of Oahu, Hawaii, before later moving to Colorado. Outside of her professional life, Olga's greatest inspiration is her six-year-old daughter, who fuels her drive and determination. She enjoys exploring Utah's breathtaking mountains and is an avid reader and has a deep passion for travel. Welcome, Olga. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Lindsay. Happy to be here. I'm also looking forward to it.
Yay. So first of all, can you just expand on your background and how you specifically landed in BSA AML compliance?
Yes, absolutely. So I've always really enjoyed relationships and, you know, interpersonal skills. And it's actually really funny because I started out as a pre-med in college. And my very first few classes, I was like, nah, this isn't for me. Like, it just required way too much tutoring and like way too much of like brain power. And the second I switched to economics, things just started to flow. Like, things were great. I was able to do internships. I didn't have to spend such a crazy amount of time like studying biology or chemistry. And it was more so like I just was spending time learning things that I actually enjoyed learning, and things were flowing a lot better. So once I switched to economics, I figured, you know, why not do international studies, because I already speak the languages. So the language requirement was kind of taken off. And then my senior year of college, when I was kind of looking at different options out there for jobs, I landed an interview with Goldman Sachs, and that just really kickstarted my career. So at Goldman Sachs, one of the great things that I had to experience was the fact that they encouraged you to try out other teams. And I got really lucky with being selected to also work on the KYC team halftime while I was working on the e-communications compliance and building out those surveillances. So once I joined the KYC team at Goldman Sachs, things have really just kind of flowed from there, and I never left. So my entire career has now been spent in BSA. I love it. I kind of live and breathe it. So it's just been like my niche that I was able to find and got lucky to find it early.
Yeah, I love it when, just like you said, it was really hard to force yourself to learn that pre-med stuff, but as soon as you made the switch, and that's kind of how I felt in relation to, honestly, my career as well. When I went to go get my certification, studying for my ACAMS was so simple. Like, it was fun because it all made sense in my brain. That's how I've tried to explain it to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I am terrible with tests, but somehow, like, anything AML related, anything BSA, like, it just clicks. So when I was studying for ACAMS as well, I was actually really surprised at how good I did on the test and the practice tests leading up to it. But I'm an awful test taker, so I was really impressed.
Yeah, that was definitely, for me anyways, one of the easier tests that I took. I feel like I blew through it compared to all of my others. But also, I would love to hear, what does a normal day for you look like as a BSA officer?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what's normal, right? Like, I don't think that that really happens in BSA. So every day can look a little different, but I will just kind of go over like what most of my days include. A lot of the days include kind of answering questions with regards to new onboardings to the bank, or with regards to, you know, what is it that we can do an exception on, you know, answering different questions from our deposit operations teams, our relationship teams, and just really making sure that if there is a question, you know, I'm available for the teams to answer that. Definitely answering lots of emails, and of course, working in our AML system, either reviewing, you know, regulatory reporting before it's ready to go out, performing QC on some of the cases they're working on, or just really taking care of some of the configurations. One of my favorite parts of my role, besides working with the relationship teams, answering questions, you know, making sure that we're meeting those requirements for onboarding, is configuring our systems. I do enjoy, you know, taking a look at each of the bank's system for OFAC, for example, and just making sure that our screenings and parameters make sense. That also allows me to work with teams that I wouldn't typically work on a daily basis, right? So at our bank, each of the teams within the deposit administration kind of may have their own team that, or sorry, their own system that they use for OFAC screening. So prior to onboarding, we use one system. During the customer's, you know, life cycle at the bank, we use another system. So I just really like that aspect of it that gets me out to talk to people that I wouldn't talk to on a daily basis while I'm doing the tuning of all the different OFAC systems. And I do enjoy that component. I know it might sound a little boring, but I think OFAC is a very interesting requirement that the banks do. So definitely enjoy that part of it.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things, I have more of an operational background and then ended my time in the banks several years on with BSA. And so it feels like you too, you like to see and also co-mingle your information and your knowledge with other teams. And honestly, being able to have that operational mindset, I know is such a plus to be able to carry out your job. For our listeners, how is your BSA department structured?
Yeah, so our BSA department is pretty small. It is me and one other person that primarily are responsible for BSA. And we have our chief compliance officer, who is a part of our risk management team, but primarily specializing in other compliance things. So for our bank, because we are just a little bit over $1 billion in assets, with the new system implementation and kind of the workflow that we've seen so far, our resources are, of course, limited. But what banks aren't?
Very true. So, what are some of the biggest challenges you face?
As a bank within BSA, would you say?
Yes. Or? Yes.
Okay. I would say one of the things that we've been working through has really been just streamlining processes, right? There is definitely a lot of different processes that BSA has. It is very meticulous on record keeping. It is very meticulous on documentation. We really are working on, you know, understanding our customers, but beyond understanding our customers, like understanding their activities. What type of activities are relevant to the types of customers that we have, which in my opinion is really the cornerstone of customer due diligence. So in my mind, whenever customer due diligence comes up, I automatically think, what are their transactions like? What activities are we going to be monitoring? Like, what are some of those patterns? So one of the things that we have been really working on heavily since I got to the bank is just really streamlining processes, making things more efficient. We've recently implemented the new AML system. And for any of the listeners that have gone through a new AML system implementation, everybody knows how difficult and crazy it can be, especially uncomfortable, right? Because you're not only working in the new system, trying to configure things, set things up, but you're also still kind of referring on the old system, especially where it comes to maybe 314A and those requirements. And then you're still trying to keep up with your day-to-day and documenting everything and making sure that you're still understanding those customers, right? And their activities.
Absolutely.
So that's just really been what our bank has been working.
Yeah. And so when did you guys start the conversion process?
So the conversion process itself started, I would say, late 2023. That's when we really started to discuss, okay, what are some of those steps that we need to take? We were able to hire an outside firm, so a third-party firm to help us through the implementation process, just with the transaction mapping and the data validation. There is no way that our team of two or three could have done that on top of, you know, configurations, the setup, running parallel, all the system analysis that included as well. And so having that extra buffer and extra help from an outside firm has been extremely helpful. When we were initially starting the process, I did not realize that it was going to be like a 2+ year process, but it truly is a very long process. We are now beginning to kind of reap the benefits of implementing the new system, but I still feel like we are a ways away from like the full implementation, because for our bank, we thought it would be important to not only implement the BSA AML module, but also supplement it with the fraud module to really help some of those surveillances flow and for BSA to be able to see any fraud transactions that may result in the suspicious activity reporting. So in our thoughts, it was, you know, the full system implementation would be a really great supplement to the bank, and we would benefit a lot from that. But the fraud module, we are still working through it. That is going to be an ongoing process through 2025. So definitely quite a ways away from the full implementation completed.
Yeah, I've personally been head over implementation, and then I've also helped one of my banks that I work with on a regular basis. They've just gone through it, and it takes time not only for employees to learn the system, but like you were talking about, validating that information. That is the bulk of all of that, because I mean, garbage in, garbage out, and especially with BSA, examiners are going to want to know, what have you done to make sure that this software is working to the expectations that you think it is? And then in addition to that, that software takes time to learn your customers and your patterns and what you think is normal. And also, like you were talking about the configuration, I too could spend all day looking at that and messing around and seeing and reading on how they work. It's honestly fascinating, but it's so rewarding after you spend this time of really digging in and validating and just scrubbing everything down, when you can say with your full chest that this is working exactly how we think it is, because it does make the entire BSA process so much better. It just takes a lot of time and effort and patience too.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. And I was honestly really surprised with just some of the demos we did, just how far, you know, the AML systems have come and how the use of AI and the different, you know, vendor reports connected to the system would really help with that process streamlining and with efficiencies. And to where BSA is very meticulous with documentation, it's almost like we say, you know, like if you didn't document it, it didn't happen, even if it did. But in BSA world, like no documentation means that never took place. So the new system has really been helpful with the fact that we're able to keep better track of things, and those HRC high-risk customer reviews are now scheduled systemically for us through the system. It's just the initial setup has definitely been taking a little longer than I expected. Not to mention, you know, right as we were implementing the system and going live, we started the BSA audit. Gotta love it. Never a dull day. That's why I said, you know, my day always looks a little different, but there are some consistent parts to it.
Absolutely. And so do you have any advice or heads up to a BSA officer or a bank that is looking at a new software? Maybe they don't have one yet and they've been doing everything manually, or maybe they're switching vendors. Do you have any advice?
Yes, I do. I have a couple of pieces of advice. My first advice would definitely be to plan for the long term. So it is going to be really uncomfortable for about 2 years, I would say, because not only are you going to want to do the analysis between the two systems, something that, you know, me and my team had to do in order to compare all the different alerts, the transactional alerts, the watchlist alerts, the OFAC alerts, things like that, but also you're going to want to make sure that the data validation is done on each piece of the different modules. So with us, we begin to receive the core data first and kind of implementing that into the software. But our ancillary data, such as ACH and wires, that didn't come in until later. So we ended up going through like a phased approach where we started doing data validation for the core data as soon as it started to come through. And that's taken some time. And then the ancillary data, you know, has been in progress as well. And it's so funny because we're actually still pending some data. So definitely a long-term investment. My next advice would definitely be to take some time to understand the customer base and what may be required. It's actually funny. I have a funny story to go with that. My very first, I would say, few months at the bank here, we began an audit, and I was so new. Like, I was still trying to figure out, like, where all the customer information is located, you know? So I'm thrown into this audit, which was a great experience, but the auditors are like, we would like to see your tuning methodology. And I'm like, I come from big banks. And we had, you know, separate teams doing that kind of stuff. I'm like, what is a tuning methodology, you know? So the auditors take some time to kind of go over it. I'm like, well, we don't have that. And it was actually the most important meeting I've ever had with the auditor because I've learned so much, and I'm forever grateful to the auditor who took 45 minutes to go over the tuning methodology with me. It actually stuck in my brain forever, and now I've been using that as we've been developing ours. I would definitely advise to understand the different customer segments the bank has ahead of the implementation to understand what their regular activities are. If the process includes manual or a different system, I would definitely spend some time on that because that would serve another bank implementing a system really well. So for example, with the tuning methodology having to be, you know, very particular to each bank and their risk profile, there are certain things that may need to be added into the system in order for the system to mold to the specific customer segments and industry segments that the particular bank has. I know that some banks, you know, like to specialize in onboarding, you know, LLCs or working with, you know, a lot of PSPs, professional service providers. So just really depending on the customer base, I would definitely recommend spending time really learning what their patterns of activity look like before implementing the system.
Absolutely. That I hope that anyone that is listening that thinks that they may be going through a conversion or taking on a new vendor, that you guys really think about that, because it will change so much on the process and how you do it if you do have that base understanding. Because then again, when you're doing data validation and you're making sure that the configurations are right, you already know that what you're looking for. You know what you're trying to see for your end result. So it makes it easier to tweak and modify your actual program. So moving on, so what are some of the basic, can you help explain how you balance regulatory expectations with the need for just a smooth customer experience? I know that's a challenge that many BSA departments have to juggle.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not one of those things that is always very straightforward. But in my opinion, you know, we can always manage making sure that the customer is satisfied with their onboarding and still meet the BSA requirements. I think that because of the bank's size, you know, we're just over $1 billion in assets, and there are, you know, target customers, sometimes, you know, if the customer may not have a particular piece of documentation, for example, and they have to provide it to us after, right? Like, we have to provide an exception. We can still follow up with additional questions. And same goes for those, you know, high-risk industry customers that potentially inherently may be high-risk until we understand their transactions a little better. We can also go through those customers and say, look, there are just some of the questions that we would like for you to answer versus providing them with like numerous forms that they would have to fill out, really streamlining the process. And I really appreciate that flexibility in our particular bank, just because it does help to still kind of satisfy those requirements, which are really important, but also make sure that the customer feels supported and feels like their voice is being heard. So my suggestion would just be, you know, to listen to the customer, or maybe why they are reluctant, or why it is that they can't provide particular type of information. In my experience, it has really been that they are just not sure of why something's being asked. So when I provide, you know, some indication to the relationship managers or to our customer service team to say, like, hey, just let them know that this is, you know, for verification purposes or for customer due diligence purposes, and then explaining, like, really further breaking down what that means, we typically don't have any issues in collecting anything additional, because once the customer understands and we go through some of those additional questions, they're like, oh yeah, I can totally provide that. That's easy.
And so also, from when you talk about these exceptions and how you communicate with customers, how do you, or what is your goal when you are training your employees, those frontline staff that are dealing with the customers one-on-one? How do you, how are you conveying that message to them so that they can understand it as well? Because I know that frontline staff, BSA can't do their job without a really great frontline staff.
Yeah, it's very true. We do heavily rely on our operations partners, and I am forever grateful to our operations partners for always having our back on things, because you're right, like, it is really important to have good relationships with everyone, in particular operations, in order to be able to do BSA appropriately. So one of the things I always tell the teams is like, hey, I'm here. If you have a question, even if it, you know, sounds silly, no question is silly, you should still call me so we can talk through it, right? I also really indicate to them, like, hey, customer experience is important. We do have really important BSA regulations to meet, but we also need to care about the customer experience. So my frontline staff, they are aware how important it is to report anything that may appear suspicious, even if it's just a question like, hey, I had this scenario happen. Like, what do you think I should do next? Like, do you think this constitutes as a suspicious activity, or do you need any additional details? Like, I love it when the frontline staff come to me with those types of questions. In my trainings, I also let them know that, like, hey, it's okay if you're not sure. You should still contact risk management or me as the BSA officer. We can talk through it. So what I think it really is just reliance on one another. I make sure that the communication is open. I oftentimes show up in their meetings. I try to partake in what types of questions they have throughout different teams and really combine those topics for the training. I also really like joining the meetings just so that we have some of that face-to-face time, especially where, you know, we're not in the same location. So it is over video. And I just really want to make sure that they can rely on our team, and we kind of build that support network. Because the last thing I want is for someone to have that, you know, sick feeling in their stomach, like, hey, this doesn't make any sense, but I'm afraid to ask the question because I'm not sure if this constitutes as suspicious activity, which isn't something that, you know, I expect anybody at the bank to be able to assess besides me. So I want them to really come to me with any questions or comments they may have.
Absolutely. I've said it numerous times and times again, even whenever I had my own department and was serving a bank. But the rapport that I had as a BSA officer with all of the bank staff was so important, because like we've said, you can't do your job without their input. Like, and they're so crucial, and those relationships. And I would always... which we were not, none of the banks that I've worked for were very spread out. We didn't cover a large area. And so it was easy to make, to go and visit regularly in person. And I mean, showing up and just being available. And like you said, showing that you are there and ready to answer their questions, it really changes the tone and the ease of just all anything related to BSA AML, in my opinion, within the bank.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It does take the whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, by its nature, compliance may sound intimidating to certain people. So once I show up at one of the trainings that our frontline staff is having, or just their, you know, monthly or quarterly meetings, depending on, you know, what else is going on, things just seem to flow a lot better. We've been able to develop relationships. They feel comfortable coming to me, and the same goes with our relationship teams. You know, I always let them know during trainings, like, hey, if you're having any discussions with prospects, or if, you know, you just have questions you want to bounce off of me, just let me know. I'm available. Because as you said, those interpersonal skills are super important for BSA officers and just really important to, like, provide your staff with the most support that you can. And sometimes all that people need to know is, like, hey, it's okay to ask questions, regardless of what question it is. I should still go to Olga and ask her, like, hey, I had this situation happen. Here's all the information. You can do whatever you like with it, but it's there for you.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up, what's one piece of advice you'd leave, or you would give someone that's entering BSA AML?
I would definitely say stick with it. There are some days where it is harder, but there are also some days where it's like super rewarding. BSA is very meticulous on documentation. It's very meticulous on different processes, but those processes are supposed to serve us well. I also want to specify that, you know, it can feel a little heavy sometimes, especially with the volume of work, but that's temporary. So I just would look at it as very cyclical. Like right now, there may be some sort of, you know, pits, but it doesn't always stay like that. I think as you continue in that space in BSA AML, you'll just really see that things are moving in the upwards direction. And even some of my hardest days, looking back at them, I would actually have them all over again because that's when I learn the most.
Yes, I fully agree. Well, Olga, thank you so much for deep diving into BSA AML with us and sharing your experiences. I'm so thankful for that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.